be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways. To feel a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheeks. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on a foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten. Connecting with your souls in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Speaking of Writing, a new podcast. Speaking of Writing is open for authors from all over the world. This gives us an opportunity to broaden our experiences, to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and struggles, and realize that we all have a story, and they are all worth telling. I hope you enjoy this. Good morning. I'm Rose Cushing, host of Speaking of Writing podcast, that is a podcast that encompasses authors from all over the world. Our guest today is Kathleen Ilaski, and Kathleen has a couple of children's books, and I think you're going to enjoy learning about how they came about and her process for writing them. Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about you?
Well, I'm a retired school teacher, and I was counselor my last 2 years. I live in southeastern Ohio in the beautiful hills. I'm married. I have a husband and 3 kids and 8 grandkids. And they're the reason I started writing.
The 8 grandchildren?
Well, when my kids were little, I wanted to start writing then, but I had 3 kids and I was teaching school and I just didn't have the time. But Laura Ingalls Wilder didn't start till she was 65, so I kept telling myself I had time, and then once I retired, I got busy on it.
So how did your first book, well, first of all, your book is about possums, correct?
Yes.
So tell me why you selected possums.
People ask me that all the time, and I'm not really positive what the answer is. I know when my adult kids were little, I took a writing correspondence course, and one of the assignments for that I wrote about Pudgy Pop. Well, if he didn't have a name, I wrote about a possum. And I think that's about the time that when we went out and smelt the goats and took the lid off the trash can where the grain was, there was a possum in it. I don't know who was more surprised, me or the possum, but that might be why a possum stuck in my head. And then later on, when my daughter was in Girl Scouts, we spent the night at the Columbus Zoo, and after hours, they brought animals out for the kids to see, and they brought a possum, and it was the biggest, baddest possum you ever saw, but it was so sweet.
When I was a little kid, one of my neighbors worked in the logging industry, and he brought home baby possums whose mom had been killed, and they were so cool because they would hang on to you, and you couldn't drop them. You couldn't let them go because they were so adept at, you know, hanging on. And they were just absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
They were cool pets. Now, that when they're grown, you know, they're a little more testy to deal with. But for little fellas, they're precious. So tell us a little bit about your first book.
Well, my first book, I had several books that I had made for my grandkids. And when I came across Monday Creek Publishing, Gina said, bring some of your writing and we'll see what we can do. And I just took everything I'd ever written, pretty much. And she picked out Pudgy Possum and the Porcupine to be my first one. And she asked who was going to illustrate it. And I said, well, I guess I am, because I'd been doing it for my grandkids. So I worked a little bit harder on the pictures, and she thought they were okay. So that's how we got started.
Well, they are beautiful. You did a fantastic job on the illustrations.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking
at you. I have to give a shout out to my son. and daughter-in-law because they got me a watercolor set for Christmas, I think maybe a year before that. And I had decided to try that out, and I did that for my grandkids, the books I made for them. So they get credit for getting me started.
Really nice. Now,
Thank you. Your
first book was named Pudgy Possum and the Porcupine?
Yes.
Now, how did the porcupine come into play?
Well, Pudgy meets a porcupine, and he thinks he's really cool, so he wants to be a porcupine. So he figures out a way to turn himself into a porcupine, but when the fox shows up, it doesn't work too well. And I'm not going to say any more than that because I want people to buy the book.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, it's kind of a good story. You know, kids often wish they were something else or dream about being something else.
And I'm not sure. I just get ideas for Pudgy. My cousin helped me figure out Pudgy's name, but just ideas for things that have two P's in them. So that was, I think that's why the porcupine popped in my head.
Well, I think that's a cool choice because that's not something that you see every day.
Yeah, I don't think we have them around here. I think maybe farther north they do, but
right. Anyhow,
they do live where possums live. So
For sure.
It made sense.
So you won two awards with this book.
I did. I was so surprised. I was thrilled. Gina, my publisher, is really good about encouraging us to apply and stuff. And when I got the results back, it's like, oh my gosh, somebody else likes my book.
Yeah, the really, really nice awards for your book, so that's fantastic.
Thanks. I've sent the second one in for a couple places, but I haven't heard back from that one yet.
Well, I'm sure that's a slow process.
Yeah.
So, in writing your first children's book, what would you say your biggest obstacle was in completing it?
Well, when I wrote it for my grandkids, it was like 1,500 words, and Gina said it could not be over 500 words. So I had to cut two-thirds of the story out, and that was really hard. There'd be one part, and I'd think, oh, man, I really like this part, but I guess it really isn't that crucial to the story, so I'd have to take that whole section out. And by the time I got done with it, I agreed with her. It was a better story. It was easier for kids to follow along.
What age group do you target with your books?
These would probably be good for kids like from 3 to maybe 3rd grade.
Right.
But when I taught a 4th and 5th grade multi-age class with another teacher, and we started every day with picture books. So I don't think you're ever too old for picture books.
No, I don't think so either. In fact, at my age, a lot of times I enjoy them because there's no serious mental commitment and my imagination can run wild.
Yeah.
I love that. So, and what a great way to entertain kids and teach them. Now, in your second book, that one is called Pudgy Possum the Brave. So,
yes.
Tell us
it's
a little bit.
It's kind of a prequel to the first one.
Uh-huh.
Because it's back when he was a baby in his mom's pouch with all his brothers and sisters. And it gets really crowded, and anybody who's ever sat in the back seat with their siblings in the car knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Or shared a bed with their siblings.
Absolutely.
So anyhow, it gets really crowded, and they get this big idea that somebody should leave to make more room. So even though Pudgy's the runt of the litter, he volunteers.
Aww.
And then the rest of the story is about what happens. And when his brothers and sisters finally decide it's time for them to leave the pouch, they get a big surprise.
Well, that's,
again, I'm not going to tell.
No, I wouldn't either. It's always hard to, and even though he's the runt, he's kind of like acting as the older brother, so that's
cute.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Now, in that book, what was the biggest obstacle?
Well, I had to totally redo that book, because the way I wrote it for my grandkids, Gina didn't like it, and I prayed about it, and the next day I got up and I read it, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible, because his brothers and sisters pushed him out in my first version.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's really me. Why did I write it like that? So I totally rewrote it and made him volunteer so that it was nicer. But I really wanted to write it because I wanted to explain why he was called Pudgy. I had somebody ask me one time, isn't that kind of insulting to call him Pudgy? So if you read the book, you'll understand why it's okay to call him Pudgy.
There you go. And where can people find your books?
They are on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. The second one didn't get on Amazon, but Gina recently told me she was working on it and got it figured out, so it should be on there soon. If you live in Hocking or Athens County, they're in some of the stores.
Uh-huh.
In Logan, there's a store called Homemade on Main, and they're in there. They're at Lake Hope State Park. They're at Weiss Mill in Athens. And if anybody wants to contact me, I'd be happy to mail them a signed copy. I love signing copies for people.
Now, go ahead.
A lot of my former students have asked me for books, and I just adore signing books for them because I like them to know that I still think about them and consider them one of my kids, even though they're all grown up.
Absolutely. Do you have a website for your writing?
Well, yes and no. I had one, and I'm switching it around, and it's kind of, but if you Google Kathy Alasky, you should be able to find something.
Okay, that's good enough. And are you on social media?
I am. I'm on Facebook, and my granddaughter has got me set up on TikTok and Instagram.
Very good. I think TikTok is a good market for your age group of kids, for sure.
Well, if my grandkids are any indication, yeah. And if people want to email me, just Kathy Alasky, all small letters, at Yahoo.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about your book writing process. How long did it take you to complete the first book and get it ready to market?
It usually takes a good 3 or 4 months. Writing it takes a big chunk of time, but then doing the pictures really takes a long time because sometimes I've had some pictures, I've done them over 5 times because I wasn't happy with them.
Right.
And my granddaughter, Aria, is my best critic, and she'll go through things. She'll go through the story, and she'll say, Grandma, you can't say it that way. You just said it that way on the last page. And the picture, she'll go through and say, oh, no, his ears are too little, or he looks goofy, or... So I listen to her because she gives good advice.
Well, it sounds like it. That's good to have an in-house editor.
Yep, I wouldn't send it out without her checking it over first.
It's good to know your market, without a doubt. Now, you are traditionally published with Monday Creek Publishing, so tell us a little bit about why you chose to be traditionally published.
Well, I had, through the years, I had sent out query letters to publishers and agents, and my rejection letters were all really nice, if you can call a rejection letter nice, but they were all encouraging, and they'd say, oh, we're not doing that kind of book, or that's not quite what we're looking for, but you should keep trying.
Right.
They all said to keep trying. And I went to Weiss Mill in Athens, and they had a section of local authors. And I kept looking at that, and I thought, I should look and see who publishes them. And I found out it was Monday Creek Publishing. So I thought, well, I'll just contact Gina and find out. And one thing led to another, and he put my dreams into reality.
There you go.
She's a wonderful person to work for. I really appreciate everything she does for all of her authors.
I know. I love Gina. She's just an amazing publisher and friend, without a doubt. So
I think marketing is the hardest part.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She's really good at helping us with that, too.
Yeah, and I honestly believe that when you write your book, that you feel like, whew, I've accomplished it. But the truth is the work's just started.
Exactly. I don't mind, I like going to book festivals and talking to people about my books, but to actually ask them if they would buy one is hard for me.
Sure. So you've done some book signings and book readings. Did you feel like that they were worth your investment of time to sell books?
Oh, even if I don't sign books, I still think it's worth the time. My sister-in-law is a secretary in a school in Columbus, Indian Springs Schools in Columbus, and they had me come up and be a guest speaker for the day. And that was so much fun. I just loved it. The kids made me feel like a rock star.
Yeah.
They were so sweet.
Now, of your marketing endeavors, what have you felt like has been the most fruitful?
Going places and asking if they would be willing to sell my book has paid off. Lake Hope has been wonderful. They bought 20 copies of both books and set up a little display, and that was just really sweet. Little Professor in Athens, when they bought them, they put me in the front window. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really neat. And I have to give White Smell credit, because it's because of them that I got connected with Tina. So White Smell is my favorite store in Athens.
Well, you know, a lot of people kind of overlook that local bookstore appeal. But, you know, it's really wise to make those tours and visit those local stores and you know, make you a 50 or 100 mile radius to get your work out there to get started.
Yeah. My goal is at one point to go to, like, state parks all over the state and see about getting the books there. But with COVID and everything, we were having supply problems, so I didn't feel like I could go a lot of places until I had more consistent supplies.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. COVID made us all have a lot of time to hone our craft and wait.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we're back, sort of back to normal. So what's left on your bucket list, Miss Kathy, to go forward with?
Well, I do have a coloring book out.
Uh-huh.
That Gina's helping me get two journals put together that have Pudgy on them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working on my third book. It's Pudgy Discovers Peppermint, a Pudgy Possum Mystery.
Aww.
The story's all done and approved, and now I'm working on the pictures. So it should be out, hopefully. Gina gave me a January 30th deadline to have my part of it done. So hopefully it'll be out spring next year.
That's really awesome. Now, were you an artist before you started this project?
No.
Gosh, your drawings are really good.
My mother's very crafty, so I grew up doing crafts. And when I was little, sometimes my fingers would get itchy because I wanted to make something so bad. So it just did a lot of fooling around with stuff, and I'm a self-taught. It runs in my family, though. I have cousins that are really good artists too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing how good. I mean, I tried to learn watercolor, and Lord knows there's no art in my fingertips, even though it's in my head. But your drawings are excellent.
Well, when I was little, the only art lessons you could say I've had, when I was little, my mom for Christmas one year, mom and dad got me a John Nagy Learn to Draw kit.
Uh-huh.
And it had a book with it, told you how to draw things, and I went through that faithfully. So that's where my training came from. The rest of it's just give it a go and see what happens.
Now, you did the book fair back in October, did you?
Yes.
How did that go? How did you feel about, I know the book fair was successful, but how did you feel like, as an author, is that a something you would pursue and do more of?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's fun to meet other authors. I think we probably buy each other's books as much as anything.
Sure.
But it's a lot of fun to meet a lot. I've made a lot of really good friends through this, and Gina does such a good job putting it on and stuff that I wouldn't miss it.
Now, are you in writers' groups to help you work with your writing or critique groups or any of those outside type things?
No, I haven't done that other than having my granddaughter critique it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why.
Well, they're not always easy to find, but that and they can be very helpful to a beginning author.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to folks out there who have a book in their head as to how to get it out there and get it going?
I would say write it down, write what you love, and even if you never get it published, still write it down. Maybe your great-great-grandchildren will come across it and be all excited to find it. But if you really want to publish, just keep sending out those letters and keep your eyes open for opportunities like I did with Gina. And if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. Got to not give up.
Very, very good advice. And you know, the best advice any writer can get is write, write, write. And I know people get tired of hearing that, but the more you write, the better you get.
Yep, that's true. And write about what you know and what you love.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been such a pleasure talking to you today. So people can find Pudgy Possum Books on Barnes & Noble, on Amazon, and they can contact you directly. I Googled you while we were talking. It's not hard to find Kathy Alasky. And she'll send you a signed copy if you like.
Yep, I'd be happy to.
Very nice, Kathy. I appreciate talking with you. And as always, I appreciate everybody listening. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?